Father, thank you for this Eucharistic service, Lord, this time of Eucharist where we hide away in the open, wounded heart of Christ, where we encounter your amazing love and the plan of our redemption that was birthed out of your pierced heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that today, as we approach Calvary with a spirit of celebration, Lord, your answer for fallen and broken humanity, as we remind ourselves of the most important event in human history that changes everything, that directs all things. We're reminded, Lord, that everything will be summed up in Christ, and that what we see going on around us, and pandemics and economics and all those things, Lord, everything won't be summed up by them, but everything was summed up by Christ. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. His kingdom is here. You reign forever, Lord. We thank you for the kingdom of heaven, for our union with Jesus, that we participate in his reign because we're in him, seated in the heavenly places. And God, I pray that everyone who's participating in this Eucharist at any level today, that, Lord, they would have real life-changing encounters with you. That you would present yourself alive to them again. That it would be an application to their lives of all the things you purchased for them in your finished work. Where there's a need for healing, God, that's no healing. We just plead the blood of Christ over any physical condition. Where there's a need for deliverance from demonic oppression, things like severe anxiety and depression, we just, again, plead the blood of Christ over anyone suffering from demonic oppression. We thank you, Lord, that you created brain chemistry and that you're changing brain chemistry. We plead the victory of Jesus over broken relationships. Father, we just thank you for the manifestation of those things that flow from your cross and your resurrection, the lives of those who are watching, for those who come to receive Eucharist today. And Lord, we're so grateful for your kindness, your eternal patience, Lord, your relentless passion for us. Thank you that you never stop believing in us, that you see who we are in Christ so clearly. Thank you that you never stop calling forth our true identity in your Son. So we come before you, Lord, because we don't want anything to hinder love, our love for you. We don't want any rivals for our trust and affection. We don't want anything to keep us from entering into and experience the inheritance that you paid such a price for. This was not the sermon that I was planning on preaching today, but this morning I got a text from a dear member of our church who's a nurse who a week ago decided to go to New York and be on the front lines and to help the people there. And I asked if I would call. So I, on the way to church, I called. And she gave me the report of what was going on there. And it was horrific. I pray for those of us who are distanced from the epicenter to be careful in some of the theories that we come up with or not understanding how bad it is and somehow think it's somehow overblown or exaggerated. She talked about how the nurses laid their life down every day, how they loved on the people who were so sick, that 90% of the people in the hospital she's at have COVID-19. All the ones on ventilators, and the ones who are dying, nurse who got it and died, the ER doctor that you may have heard about on TV, that hospital, got it and killed herself. The nurses who haven't seen their children for days. And she talked about how one of the first days that she was there, she's staying in a dorm, a college dorm, but it was all with caregivers staying there because of all the extra in there, and how many they need more. They're so overwhelmed. Talked about one evening at 7, there's one guy there that's helping our young boy to not be so scared because she's in New York. She's got a nice southern accent. You can think maybe they're going to eat you when you get up there. And all of a sudden she heard all these pots and pans and horns and loud noises outside. And he said, let me show you something. So when the shift changes and the nurses and the caregivers come back to the dorm when they leave, all the people stand out in their balconies. They blow horns and beat pots and pans and celebrate them for coming to their city and laying down their life and loving them. It's remarkable. Sounds like a scene in the trenches in Somme and France during World War I. We just talked about the fact of being in Christ and reminded ourselves of the fact that Jesus said, when you do it to the least of one of these, you do it to me. And at the cross, when Jesus cried out, I thirst, it was God's thirst for man. But because Jesus identified himself with fallen and broken humanity, he clothed himself with sinful man on the cross. He took all of broken humanity in his person to the cross. It wasn't just God's cry of thirst for man, it was man's cry of thirst for God, for love, for wholeness and healing. And Jesus cried out on their behalf. because fallen and broken humanity are crying out for him. They just don't know the name. They don't know what they're crying out for. The scripture says that Jesus is the desire of the nation. They don't know that, so he's desiring. That desperate, empty longing, especially if you're going through what they're going through. She described the horror of what it looked like, and the people dying. And I thought about this, and one of my favorite things that Mother Teresa used to always say is when people talk to her about her calling to minister to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, is that God had shown her through that scripture in Matthew 25 that these people were Jesus in his distressing disguise. And so I reminded Melissa that this morning. Didn't have to, she knew, but we just reminded each other that when you go, this is her day off, and she was had one of those days, a lot of crying and just devastation of humanity suffering so, and just reminded ourselves that, you know, even when I think about what Livia's been through, which is nothing compared to that as a whole, but this thing's been going on for Livia since the second week in December, so it's been like 20-something weeks. I was telling Ron and Bracken that it's hard to imagine how this could happen, but she sprained her ankle yesterday. She can't stand up, but she pushes off of a pedal to transfer, and one foot has a drop foot. It pushed too hard, and she sprained her ankle, and you know how bad a sprained ankle hurts on top of everything else. And one of the things that reminds me, too, is that when you get tired, when you get weary, one, that you're in Christ, and so this is Jesus doing this through you, but also to remind you, this is Jesus I'm ministering to. Jesus is once again crying out through their humanity for love. And I just was, Melissa and I were sharing it with each other. When you go back at it tomorrow, all those people, it's Jesus in his distressing disguise. I know that I wrote an article yesterday, and I was going to talk about today, probably on Monday, about all the different ways we have encounters with the risen Christ. We need to be open to all those things. I get it's unfortunate Christians get stuck in what they're comfortable with. You know, they want it to just only be in the Eucharist, or only be in the Bible, or only be in the music, or only be. But Jesus revealed himself on the Damascus Road like lightning, and he came in different forms. And they didn't recognize him, I think, because he wants us to not get so comfortable with what we've known that we don't give him room to do something new. I find that a lot in people who want to be, even in charismatics, those who want to be charismatic light, those who want to be safe. Let me just tell you, I'll give you a word from the Beaver family. He's good, but he's not safe. And if you want him to be safe, you're following the wrong Jesus. But what about encountering him? Jesus said, when we feed the hungry, we feed him. When we give someone who's thirsty something to drink, we've given him something to drink. Where do I find Jesus? Where can I encounter him? How about in the stranger that you walk up to or see in the restaurant who needs a smile? Or the one who's naked needs to be clothed? If I were to tell you that Jesus was here in Selma, Jesus, the real Jesus, historical Jesus, and if you would like to have an encounter with him, he's here incarnationally. And you would go, well, where is he? I said, if I tell you where he is, will you go look for him? And you would say, yeah. I'd say, well, he's in every room in the nursing home. He's clothed. He's behind the Dempsey dumpster naked. Will you take him something for clothes? Will you, the hungry that you pass by that you kind of want to ignore, or they scare you a little bit, you see them with disdain, that's Jesus. And you see the sick, that's Jesus. You're not just praying for a person to be healed in some mystical way. Jesus is there in his distressing disguise saying, I thirst. On their behalf. That's what happened on the cross. It wasn't just God saying his thirst for us, but it's Jesus on their behalf crying out to be loved, to be healed, to be touched, because he's given them voice. He's identified with collective humanity. In Christ, they're crying out for healing. So when you stop for the sick, when you've had an encounter with Jesus, you've met Christ, and you've been given the privilege to minister to Jesus in very incarnational ways, ministering by Jesus to Jesus. In his distressing disguise. I remember years ago, I've told this story a long time ago, we as a family were in Gatlinburg, and one of the places we liked to go was the Pancake Pantry, I think is what it's called. Everybody went there. You had to stand out in line to get in the Pancake Pantry. I don't really know why. It was just pancakes. And I guess because it had mountain air, so it's a different kind of pancake. But we were sitting there eating, and there was a family, and there was a boy. He must have been 12, but he was had some real serious, like, physical issues. You could tell he didn't look normal. His behavior was weird, and everything that he was had, I don't know what had happened to him. If he was Down syndrome when he was born, I'm not sure. But I looked over and noticed him, and I turned away, and Jesus, the Lord, said to me in my heart, he said, it's me. I said something, I feel so sorry for that boy. He said, it's me. I turned again. He said, it's me, child. It's not that hard to find Jesus, have an encounter with him. You don't have to go to a big charismatic conference and wait to get zapped. That's a good thing. That's cool. It's one of the ways he comes to us, but he's around us every day when we minister to him. Another thing, too, those of you who don't know much about New Yorkers, and Southerners have this, trust me, New Yorkers are scared to death of Southerners because they think we're going to eat them and then hide them away in a cabin somewhere. We're scared of New Yorkers. We think somebody in the mafia is going to jump out and shoot us. But I was there on 9/11. I was there in New York. New Yorkers are in a hurry. They're not rude. They're just in a hurry. There are a gazillion of them, and they've got a little space. They got to get somewhere. But they're the nicest, sweetest, kindest people I've ever known. And I just have a special place in my heart today to pray for my friend Melissa, for all those who are up there, but all those workers, New Yorkers, who've been dealing with this for months. And they know that we don't get it, that it's the real deal. And they're living in hell every day. Lord, I pray that for all those who are believers today in New York, for Melissa and others, spread the word. This is Jesus on this ventilator. This is Jesus with this high fever. And they can hear the thirsting heart of a broken person, Jesus crying out on their behalf to be loved, to be healed, to be touched. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace with one another. One of the things I know, too, about Melissa, she's very brave and she's very aggressive. She's also up there praying for everything that moves to be healed. She'll have some great stories. I didn't either.